the third Rebbe of Lubavitch, after the Baal Tanya and the Mittler Rebbe, the Rebbe Dov Ber, the Tzemach Tzedek, and we spoke about his childhood and some pretty remarkable stories, especially about what happened with his mother, with Dvorah Leah, and the whole all the circumstances surrounding his third birthday. And we're going to continue now to discuss his life. As I told you last week, it's been very well documented, and with some stories, and then Mitzvah Hashem, within the next 2-3 weeks, to be able to get to begin to learn some of the Torahs of the Tzemach Tzedek. So we'll begin today with talking already at the point when he's still a small child, but he's being raised by the Baal Tanya. He's being raised by his grandfather. So we have a number of stories from that time, conversations, and there's one in particular that made an impression upon me. We're told that after, this is where we left off last week, after the Baal Tanya brought the Tzemach Tzedek to Cheder, after he brought him to Cheder, you recall that we spoke about that before he brought him to Cheder. That before he brought him to Cheder, the Baal Tanya first went to the grave of his daughter, of Dvorah Leah, and asked for her bracha. So we have an interesting Torah from the Baal Tanya. Now, in Cheder, they would begin with Sefer Vayikra. They would begin with the book of Vayikra. So we're told that when the Tzemach Tzedek began to learn Vayikra, when he began to study Chumash, he asked on that first day, he asked his grandfather, why is it that the word Vayikra is written with a small aleph? Why is it written with a small aleph, an aleph zeira? Why is it written with a small aleph? So I'm going to repeat to you what's brought down in the Sfarim that the Baal Tanya told him. He said the following. This is the reason why the word Vayikra is written with a small aleph. So Baal Tanya said, Adam HaRishon Hayu Yitzir Kap of Yisbarach, that Adam HaRishon, the first man, was the handiwork of Hashem himself, V'hu Yada Mailas Atzmo, and Adam HaRishon was aware of his exalted stature, of his great nature. So Hichshu V'Herich Mailas Ozos, now because he was so aware of how great he was, V'nichshol b'chait eitz hadaas. Because of that, the Tanya said, he succumbed and he sinned with the tree of knowledge. Because he was very much aware of his greatness, and he wanted to achieve the ultimate greatness, which is what the Nachash, the snake, was offering. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, right. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, whose soul came from what's called in Kabbalah Michochma Datzilus Mamish, which is even on a higher level, the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu was on the greatest possible level. Sheira gam ba'olam hagashmi achnis mali habayis kol almin v'gam olam hazeora, that he was of such a great nature that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire house, the entire world, all worlds, he said, were filled with light. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's light was so powerful that it was able to shine even in this physical world. You know, the more powerful a flashlight, the greater distance the light can go. Moshe Rabbeinu's light was so great that it was able to penetrate to the very depths of existence. Moshe Rabbeinu gamkein yoda ma'ilas atzmo. Now the Tanya told his grandson, that Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, this is all in response to the Tzemach Tzedek's first question in Cheder, is why is that Aleph little? In the word Vayikra, that Hashem called to Moshe, why is the Aleph small? So he said that Moshe Rabbeinu also knew his great nature. Moshe Rabbeinu was, just like Adam HaRishon knew his exalted nature, so Moshe Rabbeinu knew as well. Avlo Hirshiv is Atzmo Bekach. The difference between Adam HaRishon and Moshe Rabbeinu is that Adam HaRishon's knowledge of his spiritual nature brought him to the chait, to the sin of the tree of knowledge. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu's knowledge of his greatness did not. Adarabba, Tatanya said, Zeh garam lo lev nishbar v'nidka. It had just the opposite effect on Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that he knew how great his soul was, that it came from that level which is known in Kabbalah as Chochma d'Atzilus, that which is closest to God, higher than the angels. And he knew, because he knew of the source of his soul, this brought him, instead of bringing him to haughtiness and sin, this brought him to a point of Lev Nishbar, to a broken heart. V'nidka, v'hayashofel, v'hayashval ruach, and he was very humble and low in his own eyes, b'choshva, why? Because he thought always, Luhaya no saying li Yehudi Acher, Hanishama Gavoa Shali, Ubiskus Ovashali, Haya Osa Yehudi Harbe Yosa Nalimen. So remember that the Baltan is telling this to little Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, who from the time that he was born was being treated as royalty. So what he's telling him is that Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu was that even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew the greatness of his soul, instead of being led astray by that, it had just the opposite effect. He became the most humble person upon the face of the earth, because he always used to think, the Tanya said, Moshe Rabbeinu was always thinking, if another Jew had my soul, he would know how to treat it properly. He would know what to do with it. If another Jew has such a wonderful opportunity as myself, then that other Jew would make much better use of the neshama that I'm making of it. And Adirab, just the opposite. Look what I've done to my neshama. God has given me such an amazing neshama, and I haven't been able to maximize the benefits that could be maximized as a result of having such a neshama. And not only that, but Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Look at the schus avos that I have. Look at my zaydi. I come from Levi. Now I come from such good stock." So he said that if another Jew would have come from my background and would have my soul, he'd be infinitely greater than me. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu used to think. V'akash baruch hu ba'atzma amar al Moshe Rabbeinu v'ha'ish Moshe al Moshe Rabbeinu v'ha'ish Moshe anu mikol adam ha'adam ha'shal p'nei ha'adam ha'adama. And Hashem himself testified that this person, Moshe, was the most humble person upon the face of the earth. Why? So the Tanya explained to his grandson, because Moshe modad es atzmo im kol ha'adam. In other words, v'ha'ish Moshe anu mikol ha'adam. The Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all human beings, of all men. Why is that? Because he says that Moshe Rabbeinu used to compare himself to Kol Ha'adam, Af HaPoshet Shebapshutim, even the simplest person in the world. Ashal Pnei Ha'adam of Amar. Moshe Rabbeinu used to say, Lunas Nulau La'oso Poshet Mailis Nishmasi, that if that simple water carrier, or you know that schlepper, if that simple person somewhere in the corner saying Tehillim would have had my avos, my ancestors, and would have my neshama, Ushus Avaisai Kematonim Ilamala Kamon. I didn't earn that; it was given to me. You hear the beautiful pshat in the pasuk. How did he achieve such a state of anivus, of humility, taking into account that he was fully aware of his exalted soul? So how did he achieve such humility? Mikol ha'adam apnei ha'adam, because he used to look at every single little person walking around, the simplest people, and say, if he would have my neshama, he would be better than me. If he would have my background, who would he be? So Tanya ended and said, Shloisha Sugi Aisius Nosakosh Baruch B'Sinai. Now remember, he's telling this to a 3-year-old child. He said there are 3 types of letters that were given on Har Sinai, 3 types of letters that are found in the Torah. Ravravan, Bainanin, and Zeirin. There are large letters, like in Shema, like Echad, right? There are large letters. Then there are the regular Bainanin, the normal sized letters, and then there's the Zeirin. There are letters that are written in a small letter, like the small aleph of Vayikra. So he says, the Tanya said, HaTorah nichtava bebeinonin. The Torah is written with an average, with a medium-sized letter. Why? Ki al ha'adam lios bedarga beinoni. Because that's what could be expected of the average person. A Jew has to struggle, halavai, kula hayolai. You know, his whole book, Tanya, is called Sefer HaBeinonin, to show you how you could be that person, that at least to be a beinoni. V'magila kach ha'id ha'torah. And you could reach that level by observing the Torah, to be a Beinoni, to be in the middle. Now, the tiniest idea of a Beinoni is someone that doesn't sin at all. It's not talking about a Beinoni, doesn't mean like, you know, Monday is for Hashem, Tuesday is for me. Wednesday. A Beinoni means someone that doesn't sin, not in word, thought, or action. But he has to fight, he has to struggle. So those are the middle-sized letters. Adam Arishni says, Look, he said, Adam's name is written with a large aleph. And he knew about that large aleph of who he was. He was fully aware of that large aleph, and that brought him to sin. But Moshe Rabbeinu, who was able to reach this, even though he understood also the nature of his soul, the source of his being, but he used that for the opposite purpose. He used that to make himself the most humble person upon the face of the earth. With him it says, when Hashem called to him, he saw himself only as a tiny little aleph being called. So it's a beautiful, in other words, what the Tanya is saying is that the letters of the Torah were given because the big aleph of Adam is because that's what happened to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon became expanded. And because of that, he fell into the Chet Hadas, the sin of the Eitz Hadas Tovara. He fell into that sin. But Moshe Rabbeinu was also the capital. Moshe Rabbeinu's soul was his great. But instead, he saw that, and by looking at the same thing, it brought him to the sense of humility. So that's why Vayikra, that's how he answered the Tzemach Tzedek's question of why is Vayikra written with a small aleph. After he told that to the Tzemach Tzedek, so it says that the Baal Tanya told him to quickly prepare his Seudas Mitzvah, to prepare a meal, to prepare a festive meal. And the Baal Tanya was in a state of tremendous dveikus. It's written this one, that he was in a state of great attachment to Hashem. I mean, there are stories about what happened, to the Baal Tanya during those ecstatic states. And then it happened that the Baal Tanya sat there for a while with the Zikanim, with the elders of the Chassidim, and with the Tzemach Tzedek, with the child, with the three-year-old child. And then the Baal Tanya left the room, and the elders of the Chassidim asked the Tzemach Tzedek, they put a chair on the table, and they sat the Tzemach Tzedek, the little boy, on the chair, and they asked him if he could repeat his Zaydi's Torah, if could he repeat his grandfather's lesson that he just said. I mean, here is a three-year-old child. So it says in the Svarim that he repeated every single word exactly from beginning to end. He didn't miss a word. He said every single word. And there was a chosid there. One of the greatest of the chassidim was Reb Reuven Sender. These are people who knew Shas inside and out. So Reb Reuven Sender was very nispalled from that, was very excited by that. The understanding here is not only did the Tzemach Tzedek repeat it word for word, but he understood what his Zaydi was telling him. What his Zaydi was telling him is, your grandfather's the Rebbe. You come from very holy stock. And you have an exalted soul. But make sure, it's your first day in Cheder, you make sure that you remain a small aleph. You make yourself into a small aleph. Don't make yourself into a big aleph, because that happened to Adam HaRishon, and we have a lot of aggravation from that. You make yourself into a small aleph, and it'll be a Moshe Rabbeinu, and for Moshe Rabbeinu we have Kol HaTorah Kula, so Moshe Rabbeinu. You make yourself into a small aleph. So he understood this, and he said over the Torah, and it says that this chosid grabbed a glass of schnapps and stood up, and he said, Yemali Hashem Yisbarach, Kol HaBrocha Sheberach Rabbeinu HaZaken, as Nechdo Menachem Mendel Ben Dvar Leia. He called out with his glass of schnapps, may all the blessings of our Rebbe, of the Baal HaTanya, that he blessed his grandchild, that was that day at the grave, Menachem Mendel Ben Dvar Leia, may they all be fulfilled. And it says, V'chol HaKol Kara Amen V'Amen, and then like good Chassidim, they continue with the drinking. Right? So, that is what happened on the third birthday. That is what happened by the first day of the Tzemach Tzedek in Cheder. Then we know that when the Tzemach Tzedek was 8 years old, his grandfather Tanya called his son. The Baal Tanya's son was the future Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, Ha'admor Ha'emtzoi, Rebbe of Dov Ber. He called him in and he said to him that I want you to take the Tzemach Tzedek, Menachem Mendel, that's his nephew, that's the Mittler Rebbe's nephew, right? The Mittler Rebbe of Dov Ber and Dvar Leia were brothers and sisters, the Baal Tanya's children. And the Tzemach Tzedek was Dvar Leia's son. So the Baal Tanya said, I want you to take the Tzemach Tzedek as a chosn for your daughter Chayimushka. He was 8 years old. It doesn't mean that they would get married then, but to make an agreement with the father of the Tzemach Tzedek, Reb Shalom Shachna. So what happened was that we're told that the Mittler Rebbe of Dov Ber, the Tanya's other son, hesitated, and the Tanya said, "What is it that's bothering you?" So he said "Father, I have very big yichus." The Mittler Rebbe said, "I have very big yichus," meaning you. "I have very, very big yichus," and Reb Shalom Shachna, in other words, the Mechutin, is not a miyuchus like that. So the Baal Tanya told him, Yichuso, the Yichus of Shalom Shachna, of the Tzemach Tzedek's father, is Godel, is greater than yours. Kiyesh, he says, Kiyesh lo ben Rebbe. He has a son that's going to be a Rebbe. You have a father that's a Rebbe. And he has a son that's going to be a Rebbe. That's a bigger Yichus than yours. Uksiv ki lo yamushu mipicho mipizaracha mipizarazaracha ad olam. The Yichus is better by the children. The Yichus, because for the children it says, that the greatness and the Torah of will not go from the children, not forever and ever. So he understood that his father, the Baal Tanya, was making him a promise. And he agreed. And the father and his son drank a l'chaim. And he took him as a chassan at that time. He took him as a chassan for his other granddaughter, for Chaya Mushka, which in fact we'll talk about the Chasid and Mitzvah a little bit later. There's a story, and this is one of the most famous stories among the Chasidim, and it tells you something about the way that the Tzemach Tzedek was raised. Well, I hope you don't find any of this boring. I go through the historical stuff, and I try to put in a couple of stories. It shouldn't be dry. I mean, the Maisa. Lamaisa, it's a fascinating thing to hear about where the tzaddikim come from, and especially here where we have Baruch Hashem a lot of information which we usually don't have. So the story is told that the Baal Tanya at a certain point when the Tzemach Tzedek was around 8 or 9 years old, the Baal Tanya began a certain seder late Thursday night. He would say a maimer in Chassidus. He would say over a teaching of a very deep teaching in Chassidus. With his sons. Occasionally, it says in the Sfarim that occasionally, in a rare occasion, one of the biggest of the Talmid Chacham, one of the Ziknei HaChassidim, the elders, would be allowed in. That was considered like to be the biggest privilege, very rarely. But late Thursday night, the Baal Tanya had he set over a special Maimer in Chassidus, a teaching of Chassidus, to his own sons. Now the way that it was set up in the apartment of the Baal Tanya was in the house of the Baal Tanya, that it was divided into two parts. In one section of the house, that's where the family lived. In the other section of the house, there was one large room that I mentioned to you last week that was known by the Chassidim as the Gan Eden HaTachton, as the lower paradise. And that's where the Chassidim used to wait, and they used to daven there in Chamarav. There was an Aron Kodesh there, and that's where they used to wait when they would go to speak with the Rebbe, with the Tanya, who was in his study. His study was called the Gan Eden Elyon, the higher paradise. And there were a few steps that were separating between that minion room, where they would wait, a couple of steps up, and then there was the Rebbe's study. Now, in between, there was a wall. In between, in the wall that was there, I guess, leading from the lower Gan Eden to the higher Gan Eden, there was an oven that was used to heat the entire house. And that's the way homes were heated, maybe still nowadays in certain places. So they had this oven, and the Tzemach Tzedek at that time, Menachem Mendel was around 9 years old. Now he wanted desperately to hear these mamarim in Chassidus, these teachings in Chassidus, but his grandfather under no circumstances gave him permission. He said that it's not time yet for him to hear these things, and he wasn't allowed to go in to listen. Those Thursday nights. So despite all of the times that he asked Tanya refused. So the Tzemach Tzedek was a very bright kid, as we can already gather. So he saw that what was happening is that that it was possible to go into that oven. If it wasn't, obviously, there wasn't always a fire burning, depending upon the weather. And he, pretty much for a couple of weeks in a row, was able to climb into that oven, which was not lit. He was able to climb to the oven, and he discovered that he was from the lower paradise, able to put his ear up against the other side, and he was able to hear his grandfather's maimer in Chassidus that he was saying over to the sons in the higher paradise, in Gan Eden Elyon. And this went on for a couple of weeks, but then there was bad mazel. It happened that one night it became very, very cold, and the Tzemach Tzedek was entranced by the shir, by the maimer, and he was in the oven, and the guy that was taking care of the wood brought wood and threw it into the oven and lit the oven. What happened was is that all of a sudden the I mean, the Tzemach was in there, all of a sudden the place was filled with smoke and these boards started to fly out from the oven. The Tzemach was a little kid trying to kick. These things were being thrown in there and he was basically being set on fire. And he started kicking these boards out and the guy started to scream that there's a dibbuk, there's a shade, you know, there's a that there's a, some sort of a demon in the thing. So what happened was that the Rebbetzin, the Baal Tanya's Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Sterne, and her son, the Mittler Rebbe, were in the other part of the house, and they heard the guy screaming, yelling that there's a fire, and they went running over there to see what happened, and there was basically on the floor of the room there were these pieces of wood that and the guy was screaming, trying to put out the wood that had been kicked out of the oven to try to put out the fire. In the meantime, they saw that inside the oven there was a person. They saw inside the oven there was a person, and the rabbi is almost fainted, he's screaming. In the meantime, Reb Chaim Avraham, who was another son of the Baal Tanya, was a very big tzaddik. He lived to be very, very old. This Reb Chaim Avraham, everybody else seemed to be just like paralyzed. Reb Chaim Avraham went over there into the oven. He started pushing whatever wood was there, and he began to pull the legs of the person who was in there. At this point, Rebbe Zinsteiner started to go crazy. He said, this is Mendel, you know, it was the Tzemach Tzedek, that's the grandson. And they didn't know what to do. And the Rebbe Chaim Avraham, the Rebbe Zinsteiner, and the Mittler Rebbe, and the Tanya's son, were all standing there trying to revive him and to shake him. And he had fainted from inhaling smoke or whatever. The Tzemach Tzedek had fainted, and they didn't know what to do, and they went running to find the Baal HaTanya, and they brought the Baal HaTanya in, and by that time there were already dozens of people that were crying and tearing their hair out that Mendel is going to die, and the Baal HaTanya calmly walked over, and we're told by, we have dozens of people saw this, the Baal HaTanya went over, and he put his hand on his head, and then he opened his eyes, and he was fine. He wasn't actually fine, he had to be, he was in bed for 2 weeks after that, he was coughing, and he was sick for a couple of weeks. After this happened, the Rebbetzin investigated, Rebbetzin Stern, as Rebbetzins will tend to do, the Rebbetzin investigated what happened, why was it that Mendel was in the oven? Why wasn't he just staying in the room with everybody? So she found out from the uncles that that their husband, the Baal Tanya, did not allow Mendel into the shir. So Baal Tanya, no Baal Tanya, we're told that she came there. The way we know this story is because the Mittler Rebbe, her daughter-in-law was with her. They went in together. And the Rebbetzin Sterne gave it to the Baal HaTanya. He said, what kind of thing is this? You love him more than anybody in the world. And he had to go climbing to the oven that he almost died. You couldn't let him go. He's a child. What does it bother you if he goes and listens? He likes to hear. And that you put his life into such danger. And she was very upset about the whole thing. That you brought him amish to Sakonis Nefashi. You put his life in danger. So we have the words of the Tzemach Tzedek that were recorded word for word by his daughter-in-law, by the Mittler Rebbe's daughter who was there with Rebbetzin Sterne. And this is what the Tanya said. I mean, again, translated from the Yiddish, but in the Hebrew, this is what it says in the Svarim. The Tanya said the following: Chabad dareshes pnimius. Chabad chassidus that I'm teaching demands inwardness, pnimius. U'magim l'kach ha'idei mesiris nefesh bepoil. And the only way to reach the deep level of inwardness is through mesiris nefesh, through self-sacrifice. Ad Avraham Avinu. Before Avram Avinu came to the world, there were also righteous people. There were also chassidim and tzaddikim before Avram Avinu. But Adam Arishon chassid gadol hayad. So Gemara says in Erevin that Adam Arishon was the chassid gadol. Bram, however, kidei lahagir l'seida shal pnimius nemseres b'yerushim l'dor l'dor. Now listen to this. They were great tzaddikim, but what happened to their children? Nothing happened with their children from those early generations. But Avraham Avinu, in order to give over godless greatness to your children and to your grandchildren, the only way that Avraham Avinu gave over inwardness and depth and greatness to his children and grandchildren to the end of time was because of his Mesiris Nefesh, because he was ready, he brought his son up for sacrifice, and he himself went into an oven. Inwardness can only come through self-sacrifice. Moshe Rabbeinu, all over Shalom, he gila Har Sinai de Eish. For Moshe Rabbeinu to come to Har Sinai, there had to be a fire. Ve'is labis Eish shebisne. And whatever he experienced there on that day when he saw the bush on fire. Ve'zoch shal yodo tiamat and Torah. And through him the Torah was given. As a Torah lochim rak b'mesirus nefesh. The only way that one can hold on to the Torah is with mesirus nefesh, with self-sacrifice. Vehu, he said, and the Tzemach Tzedek, the Mendel, the grandson, yebori v'yelo arichas yom. He will be healthy and he'll live a long life. So for 2 weeks, I don't know how, you know, we don't have the Rebbetzin's response to any of that. But that's what we have from the Baal Tanya. So for two weeks, the Tzemach Tzedek was sick and he had terrible headaches and he was in bed. And during those 2 weeks, we were told that he wasn't allowed to learn. So we know that the Baal Tanya's brother, Reb Yudel Leib, the brother, who's also an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, spent that time, we're told, telling stories over, telling Maiselach over to the Tzemach Tzedek. But that's a very famous story of the beginning also of the Tzemach Tzedek's career. You could see that the Baal Tanya had big plans for him. And did the Baal Tanya actually know that he was in the oven? Or didn't he know? And until he came around from that room, and where was he, and whatever, nobody knows. By the time he became 12, when he was 12, he began to write. From the time he was 12, he began to write Chidushei Torah. He began to write his own ideas of Torah, and mostly to write over the Ma'amorim, what he was hearing in Gemara and in Chassidus from the grandfather. And we're told that the Baal Tanya read something that was written by his grandson when he was 12 years old, on a very deep subject, and the Baal Tanya said, Yesh ha-koisev ma-shani oimer, Yesh ha-koisev ma-shani miskaven lomer. There's some of the Chassidim that write what I say. Some of the Chassidim write what I intended to say. V'hine bo ha-neched Mendele, my grandson Mendel, who's a little boy, hiskil la-halois al-haksav, b'chada machta, he's able to write in one word, hein ma-shamarti, hein ma-shiskavanti lomer. Both what I said and both what I intended to say. Again, we're talking about he was 12 years old. I mentioned to you last week that he's probably one of the most prolific mechaber, most prolific writers that ever lived. By us and Lahavdil, even by the non-Jews, I mentioned to you that up to date they have in possession over 480,000 pages of Torah. In small writing, large pieces of paper, and tiny ksav rashi, close to 500,000 pages. That he's written till this date. I mean, there are quite a few hundred things that have been published, but they haven't even yet finished publishing all the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek. He used to say that when it says in the Mishnah Ukne Lecho Chaver, right, it says Kne, you should acquire a friend. So he used to say Al Tikri Ukne Ela Vekone Lecho Chaver. Kone means the writing, the pen, the quill. He says that should be your best friend. And we're told that in the Tzemach Tzedek's house, on every windowsill there was an inkwell and a pen. And every windowsill, because as he used to walk into the room, if he'd be in a certain part of the room, he would have different ideas. They used to leave paper for him and a pen, every single windowsill of the house, because he would have different ideas, and he wanted to immediately start writing, and he would stand there with like a board of some sort, and he would begin to write in that place, and then afterwards he would put the papers together. But over 480,000 pages that they have from him. When he was bar mitzvah, so then the Baal Tanya began to learn with him Kabbalah. And that's the first time that he actually began to teach him, to study with him Kabbalah. And the Tzemach Tzedek said that his grandfather then began to teach him the true way of the Baal Shem Tov and the true way to serve God with simcha, with joy. We have a letter, a fascinating letter from the Tzemach Tzedek later on in his life. A letter of the Tzemach Tzedek that was written to one of the Chassidim, where he tells us that one time, After he had davened Maariv, so the Baal Tanya came over to him and to the Tzemach Tzedek and said that the way that you davened was you were davening Maariv in a sad way, and that's not the way to daven. I sensed that there was a certain melancholy or a certain sadness in the niggun, in the way that you were davening. And then he said that he learned from the Mezitcha Magid when it says in the pasuk Kimara Adam Alav Milamala. Now, you remember in the vision of Yechezkel, none of us understand that vision, but there was a Kemara Adam Olav Milamal, that Yechezkel, when he saw the vision of the chariot, upon the chariot, he saw the image of a human being. So the Mezritch HaMagid taught, Shekefi HaMidash Adam Mara Lamata Kach Mara Lo Milamala, that the way that you act down here, the way that you feel down here in this world, is Kemara Adam Olav Milamala. That's the image that you project to the throne of Hashem. So he was telling him, that Lochain Al Tishar Nigan Shayesh Bimarish Khaira. Don't sing songs that are melancholy, that are sad, down below here in this world. V'yichud b'zman ha'tfilah, especially at the time of davening, because that awakens, God forbid, a sadness or some sort of an image of your soul in the higher world, which is stamped with sadness. So he wrote over to this chassid that he remembers that from the time that he was 13, how his grandfather warned him not to fall into sadness or into depression. And I mentioned to you last week that one time a chassid came to the Tzemach Tzedek and he asked him, what could a person do in order to be besimcha? What should a Jew do in order to be besimcha? And the Tzemach Tzedek's response was, he didn't understand what the question was. I don't understand. Didn't you daven shachris this morning? You said when you daven shalos ani goy. You thank God that he didn't make you into non-Jew. You should be engulfed in a flame of joy just from that, from knowing and from reminding yourself and from thanking the Creator that you're a Jew. That doesn't last you the entire day. Why doesn't that last you the entire day, shalos ani goy? Hizoch Yeshata Yehudi. Remind yourself that you're Jewish. That's what he told him. Remind yourself that you're a Jew. After he turned 13, he was married. He was married when he was 13. So between the age of 13 and 14, he was married. Back in the good old days, when you didn't have to go to college or anything, for maybe not even high school, right? So he was married at that. He was married to the Chaimushka, to the daughter of. To his cousin, to the daughter of the Mittler Rebbe, they were married. There is a story about something that happened once. It's not clear that the Rebbetzin, who was just a little girl, she herself was only 12 at the time, that the Rebbetzin, the little Rebbetzinel, she said something that wasn't true. What exactly happened? I mean, I saw in the song they discussed, it wasn't Stama a lie. She said something to protect someone in the family. But something that wasn't 100% true, and the Tzemach Tzedek wanted to divorce her. He found out that she said something that wasn't 100% true, and he wanted to divorce her. And it was a whole tumult. All the Rebbetzins came to the Baal HaTanya, that what's the matter with him, and the Baal HaTanya had a talk with the Tzemach Tzedek, and it's not clear exactly what happened, but we know that that everything worked out well, and they were happily married for the next 58 years, and everything worked out okay. But there was something there that the Baal HaTanya had to straighten out at the beginning between the kids. There was some problem there. They were blessed in their marriage with 7 sons and 2 daughters, and I'm going to mention their names. Because they are important historical figures, each one in his own right, and I just want that it should be at least recorded over here that every one of their children was a goyin v'kodesh, was an astounding genius in Torah and great in holiness, and some of them, most of them, decided to become rabbis also, but not all. In order of the age, the sons were the goyin v'baruch shalom from Lubavitch, or baruch shalom. Then there was Rabbi Yehuda Leib, the Maharil from Kapost. The Kapost, the Rebbe himself, you heard of the Rogachev. The Rogachev was a chosid of Kapost. It was the Sefer Magen Avos from the Maharil's son from Kapost is one of the most beautiful, beautiful, profound Chabad Svarim. The Magen Avos is Gedai, if you get to that point where you want to look at these things, to see the Magen Avos is just a beautiful Sefer. I'm going to call Reb Chaim Shnei Zalman Miliadi, Reb Chaim Shnei Zalman, Reb Yisrael Noach Minayishin. Reb Yisrael Noach would later on be appointed by the Tzemach Tzedek as the Rosh Hashiva of this. Reb Yisrael Noach was in learning considered to be from the top, one of the tops in the generation in learning, Reb Yisrael Noach. Reb Yosef Yitzchak Mi'Avrich, Reb Yaakov Mi'Urisha, then there was the Maharash from Lubavitch. The Maharash from Lubavitch was the... Maharash from Lubavitch was the youngest son who would become the Lubavitch Rebbe. The Rebbe of Shmuel from Lubavitch. He was going to become the Rebbe. Why that is, we'll talk about later on. Why is it that the youngest one was chosen to be Rebbe? The daughter's, interesting name, Rhoda, Reish Vav Dalet Hei. Rhoda Frieda, who was married to the Goyen Reb Shneir from Lubavitch, who was a grandson of the Mittler Rebbe. And then Devorah Leah, who was named after... the Baal Tanya's daughter, Devorah Leah, who was the wife of Reb Levi Yitzchak, the grandson of the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. And that's the those are the children that the Tzemach Tzedek and Chaim Ushke and his Rebbetzin brought into the world. From the day that he was married, he was left completely alone. His father-in-law, his uncle, the Mittler Rebbe, did not allow him to get involved in any kind of public affairs, but to just dedicate himself, to devote himself to learning. During these years, which he looked back on were the best years of his life, before the time that he became Rebbe, these 12 years or so, 11 years or so, no, it was longer than that. That's when the Baal Tanya died. But during these years, his hasmad in learning, his diligence in learning, is ayin v'nayra. I mean, it's during these years that he achieved levels of learning, levels of Torah and chassidus and Kabbalah, that by the time that he was 17, the Baal Tanya gave him smicha to paskin. And as a matter of fact, the Baal Tanya was so weighed down with the needs of his hundreds of thousands of followers that although the Baal Tanya was considered to be one of the great poskim and great gaonim of the generation, geniuses of Torah of the generation, but because he was very weighed down with so many communal things and taking care of the chassidim, that when shailus would come to the Baal Tanya in halacha questions were being sent to the Baal Tanya, he would generally give them to the Tzemach Tzedek, who was 17, to write tshuvas, to write a response, and then the Baal Tanya would review them. Instead of sitting down and writing, so the Tzemach Tzedek would write these tshuvas, and the Tanya would review them. When he was 17, he wrote one of the most important Hasidic works called Derech Mitzvosecha, which we'll be studying parts of, which is on the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's on the Mitzvos, the 613 Mitzvos, which he did not write on all 613. It's a Sefer of a few hundred pages. He wrote on approximately 12 Mitzvos. It's called Derech Mitzvosecha. And it's at that time that he began to review with the older Hasidim, that Tzemach Tzedek began to review the Baal Tanya's Mamarim. In other words, he was officially appointed, but it was sort of understood that he was the one to review the Baal Tanya's teachings with the best disciples, with the best students, and he would actually have farbrengens with them. Remember that the Baal Tanya was very much very preoccupied, and that Tzemach Tzedek would actually have farbrengens, which meant, you know, drinking and singing. He would say over from the grandfather's, none of his own original, he would say over, explain over the Baal Tanya's Torahs. We're told that he said at one of those Fabrengens, Eitzel Baal Shem Tov afilu neiros kerach hayu meirim, that by the Baal Shem Tov, pieces of ice, icicles used to give light, used to be on fire. We have a story like that we'll talk about later. Bizmanenu achsidim heima bali yediyas harbe, bali haskola. Tzemach Tzedek says, nowadays the Chassidim are Bali HaSkola, they're very deep, and they're very deep thinkers of Al Bekriris, but they're cold. They don't have the fire of the Baal Shem Tov. They don't have that same fire. There's another story that his son, the Maharash, Rav Shmuel, his youngest son, built a house when he was married, and he put in the house very nice large windows in the house. So we're told that the Tzemach Tzedek came to visit his son in his new house. Sorry, Tzemach Tzedek was an old man. And he came to visit the Maharash in his house. And the Tzemach Tzedek saw this and he said, why do you need such large windows? So he told him he told his father, it's Poshet, that the larger the windows, then Mimela is lichtiger. You know, so Mimela there's more light. The larger the windows, so then the more light. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, "Ani hayisi masaba. I was with my grandfather Baal Tanya. Lo hayu l'chalaynes kolkach gedolim kamochi. He didn't have such big windows like you." So the Maharash said, "Imkain." He said, "Is efshatake nitkevein as I lichtig." So maybe by grandfather wasn't as much light in the house. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, "Is gevein lichtig." There's much more light in his house than in your house. That's what he told him. You can make the biggest windows in the house, and it doesn't mean that there's more light. And that's what the Tzemach Tzedek was telling him: is take it easy, you know, with your investments over here. That it should be lichtig. You have to make it more lichtig inside of yourself. And it's the same idea that the Tzemach Tzedek, despite his brilliance, that he was from the geniuses of all geniuses, that he was seeking that fire, that original fire of the Baal Shem Tov, the chamimus, you know, the warmth and the fire of the Baal Shem Tov that apparently he felt was being lost. As the generations were moving away from the Baal Shem Tov, he felt that the chassidim were becoming maybe more learned, and they were studying deeper teachings and so on, but he missed the fire of the early years. When he was very old, a short time before he died, the Tzemach Tzedek began speaking with tremendous longing about those early years when he was able to have those farbrengens. He said, before they showed me honor and before the chassidim were afraid of me. And they said that he used to cry very often before he died. Those last few years before he died, he cried with great longing that he remembered the innocent, simple days when he was able to talk to the chassidim without everybody being afraid and agreeing with him. That he was able to say things and people weren't afraid of him. And they didn't show him honor. But now he says that everybody's afraid of me and they respect me and no one argues with me anymore. And he said that those were the days when he was able to really be himself. Those younger years when he was giving over farbrengens. From the year Tovkuf Ayin, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Balatanya insisted on appointing the Tzemach Tzedek, giving the Tzemach Tzedek with the Balatanya had the son that was born to him in his old age, Rav Moshe, and he put him in charge of certain things that had to do with the community. He took him out of his isolation and put him in charge of certain communal things. And the Chassidim saw this as a sign that he was being, he was a Rebbe in training, you know, RIT. They saw that the Baal Tanya expected, as well the Baal Tanya was obviously still Rebbe, that he expected, he was still alive, that at some point in the future, the Chassidim saw this as a sign that the Tzemach Tzedek was going to be Rebbe. During those years, the final years of the Baal Tanya, the Tzemach Tzedek literally never left his side. During the war between Russia and France and Napoleon, which is very well known that the Baal Tanya saw Napoleon as the embodiment of evil and a danger to the future of Yiddishkeit, and the Baal Tanya supported the Tsar, who was a bitter anti-Semite, but he felt it's still better off with the Tsar than with, at least we'll be Jews and we'll know who we are, than to go with Napoleon. As a matter of fact, the Baal Tanya had a very complex network of spies, chassidim. They were acting as spies on behalf of the Tsar, and he was considered to be a political enemy of France. The Baal Tanya was a political enemy of... The reason that he was able to have spies, because Jews were able to go from one place to, you know, chassidim, Jews were able to get word one to the other. It wasn't so hard as when you had with the non-Jews. Like my father told me, that he remembers hearing from his father, that during World War I, the Jews were forced to go to the battlefields. They generally were not allowed to carry weapons, the Jews. In the Hungary, by the Austria-Hungary, they went out to the battlefield. They were supposed to schlep, you know, sick people and stuff like that. So my father remembers that his father told him that the Yidden, that they used to call to each other, you know, from the other armies, you know, in Yiddish. And he says that his father told him that he remembers that there was a minion. They made a minion. They stopped, you know, they got together to make a, you know, they davened mechamar and they went back, you know. Watch out, you know, don't shoot anybody that looks Jewish. You know. But they made a minion, like they said, Mincha, you know, Mincha. They were running, there was like trenches, and they yelled out, and they made a minion. From both sides, the Yidden got together, so okay. And they went, you know, then they went apart. So, you know, by Jews, it's always possible to get information from one place to the other. So Russia used Chabad Hasidim as very, very effective spies to get from one place to the other. And the Baal Tanya was considered to be a major problem to Napoleon. And as a result of that, he was officially an enemy of France, and he was basically this led to his death because he wasn't feeling well, and it was a bitter cold, and the Baal Tanya they had to schlep him, they had to run. There are many stories about that too. Mitzvah, one day we'll talk about the Baal Tanya, about that day when he had to run away, he forgot his tefillin, and he went back to get his tefillin. They saw that as a very bad sign. That he had to go back to get his tefillin. There was another thing that he did. His shoes were facing the wrong. It was a whole thing that happened on the day that the Baal Tanya had to be taken away. Anyway, the Tzemach Tzedek was with him to the last moment, and he was there when the Baal Tanya died in a small town of Piana. Piana Pei. It's written in Yiddish and Russian. Pei Yud Ayin Nun Aleph, where he's buried. And at that time, the Tzemach Tzedek was 24 years old. When the Baal Tanya passed away, the coming years the Tzemach Tzedek got completely out of communal work and was very much to himself after the war ended. By that time, the Mittler Rebbe, the Baal Tanya's son, had moved over all the Chassidim to the town of Lubavitch, no longer in Liozhna. They moved to Lubavitch, and the Tzemach Tzedek moved there, stayed there as well. But he was completely separated during that time. He was separated from the people, except for the questions in halacha. Generally, the Mittler Rebbe gave him also the responsibility of answering questions that the Chassidim had in halacha. But aside from that, he was pretty much to himself. He began to write. He began to exchange letters with some of the Gedolei Yisrael, some of the leaders of the Jewish people, not from the Chassidim. Others began. He began to have to exchange letters. So his reputation was growing as one of the great Gaonim, one of the great scholars, rising stars of Europe. At any rate, the Mittler Rebbe died, and this happened. When the Tzemach Tzedek was 38 years old. So 14 years after the Baal Tanya passed away, the Mittler Rebbe was only Rebbe for 14 years and he passed away. And what happened now is one of the most interesting stories in Chabad history, the refusal of the Tzemach Tzedek to ascend to the throne. He did not want to become Rebbe. The Zakenim, the elders of the Hasidim, gathered together to proclaim the Tzemach Tzedek as Rebbe, to announce that he was Rebbe and to ask him to accept the position. Among those that came to present him officially were the famous Tzaddikim Reb Hillel Paritzer, who we'll talk about Mitzvah separately in the future. The Reb Yitzchak Isaac, the author of the important Chassidic Sefer Chana Ariel. Reb Peretz Chain, one of the greatest of the Chassidim, he had a grandson, Reb Avram Chain, who was very close to Rav Kook, wrote a beautiful sefer called B'malchus Yahadus, which is something put out by the Meister Rav Kook, a beautiful sefer, Rav Peretz Chaim, and a few of the others that came to him. The Mittler Rebbe died on Tes Kislev. We know that from Kislev until Pesach, the Tzemach Tzedek refused to accept the position. He insisted that the job be given, or the honor be given to Rabbi Chaim Avraham, who was the Baal Tanya's son, who, as I told you, lived to an old age, that he should become Rebbe. Or if he doesn't want to, then the Mittler Rebbe had Rabbi Menachem Nochem had a son, and the job should be given to the son of the Mittler Rebbe, which is usually the custom. At any rate, what happened to change things? There are a couple of things that happened. First of all, one of the elders of the Chassidim got up to say a maimer, began to say a certain Torah, and that was a Torah that the Tzemach Tzedek had heard from his grandfather during the Shloshim, during the 30 days after the grandfather passed away. And the explanation that old Chassid had given was an explanation that the Baal Tanya had revealed to the Tzemach Tzedek in a dream. And he never told anybody about that. And he didn't know why this elder Chassid got up and said this explanation of this maimer, of this teaching, that only he knew from the dream that he had heard from the grandfather. And he understood this was a sign that his grandfather was trying to talk to him again after all the years, that the Baal Tanya was trying to talk to him. So he was somewhat shaken up by that, but he still didn't agree. And at this point he began to say that if he would ever become Rebbe, it would only be with the understanding that he would never ever get involved in any gashmizdike things, that the Chassidim can't come talk to him about business and about health and all these things, but if they want a Rebbe, maybe he'll think about it if it's a question of learning and teaching, but he's not going to get involved in the Gashmi. So Reb Hillel Paritzer told him, Chassidim writes in Lishmur Chassidus, that the Chassidim are not coming for problems, the Chassidim want to hear Chassidus, which of course would not turn out to be they would want Chassidus, but they would also come by the hundreds of thousands with their tzaras. At any rate, what happened was that he agreed on the condition that there would be no, he wouldn't be bothered by their physical needs, and he had indicated that they saw that he was softening, and there was a tremendous simcha, and they announced, the Tzemach Tzedek left, and the announcement went throughout the entire town of Lubavitch that the Rebbe is coming to shul soon, and he's going to say his first teaching in Chassidus, he's going to be coming to the Beis Medrash, and the whole town of Lubavitch, men, women, and children, ran to the shul, and after some time, the Tzemach Tzedek appeared in the white bekesha, in the white clothing, completely in white, from head to toe, white shtreimel, white bekesha, and pants, and everything. He came into the shul. This was what he received in a Yerusha. He had received this was the clothing of the grandfather, of the Baal Tanya. And he sat by the bima, and he began to say a maimer in Chassidus that began with the Mishnah, Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed, that the world stands on three things. Now listen to this story. I have to do it fast. When he said this, one of the deepest thinkers of the Chassidim was Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Humalover, who was the author of Chana Ariel. This was a person who was considered to be, again, one of the leading Talmid Chacham of the generation, and Chassidus and Kabbalah, absolutely astounding. Now he heard that Tzemach Tzedek was sitting on the throne in his white outfit, and that Tzemach Tzedek had his eyes closed, and he began to say, Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed, that the world is standing upon three things. Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed. Now as he began to say that, so the Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, the Chana Ariel, the author of Chana Ariel, became terrified. What happened? So this is the story. The story goes as follows, that when the Baal Tanya, I mentioned this last week, that the Baal Tanya used to daven in a room by himself, that there was a small opening to the larger minyan where the Chassidim were davening, to that room that was called the Gan Eden Tacht on the lower paradise. But he davened by himself. The only one that was allowed in the room together with the Baal Tanya was his grandson, was the Tzemach Tzedek. And I mentioned to you that the Chassidim didn't quite understand why he was allowed there, and he used to play. So we're told that when the Baal Tanya was davening, from the moment that the Baal Tanya took out his tefillin, that Tzemach Tzedek, Rav Mendel, had potatoes that he had cut to the shape of tefillin, and he made himself some straps, like children will do, but he had these boxes of tefillin made out of potatoes. And that from the time that the Baal Tanya would put on his tefillin, the little boy, when he was very serious, would stand there and put on his potato tefillin. And the whole time that the Baal Tanya was davening, which from what we're told was quite a few hours on a regular day, that Tzemach Tzedek, the little boy, would stand there very serious, like imitating and sharkling, whatever, with his potatoes and with the ritzuas. Then when the Baal Tanya would be finished, he would take off his tefillin, and then Tzemach Tzedek would take off his potatoes, his tefillin, and then he would begin to play like a little boy. He would run around the room and make a tumult. And this was every day. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac is telling this over. This old chassid, Rabbi Yitzchak, this great chassid, was telling this over. And someone said he used to run around in the room and would play. So one time the Baal Tanya told his sons and some other gedolim to come into the room. He wanted to tell them a maimer in Chassidus, a teaching in Chassidus. And they went in there, and he said a maimer al shloisha devarim ha'olam oimed. He said over this maimer that the Tzemach Tzedek on the day of his coronation was repeating many, many years later. And he said over this maimer, Al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac said that all the gedolim and the sons were in the room, and the Tzemach Tzedek was mamish making a tumult. I mean, he was a little kid. He was knocking things over and playing and making noises. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac said that he was becoming very annoyed, that he wasn't able to concentrate. And he was taking his straps that he made for the tefillin. He was like slapping the chassidim on the ankles. And here the Baal Tanya is saying over this deep thing. And the grandson is running, but they were afraid, you know, to start up with the Tanya's grandson. He was a prince, you know, and they were afraid to start up with him. So it happened that Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac said that he came over to me and he was playing by my feet. And I was very misbabble. And I said, I told him to get back. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac said, I told him to get leave the room. You're staring. I can't concentrate. Leave the room. So the Baal Tanya heard this, that he saw, the Baal Tanya saw there was a tumult over there with his aunt and uncle, with the grandson. The Baal Tanya told Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, who's telling this story many, 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 30 years later, more than 30 years later. So the Baal Tanya said to Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, Hanachloi, Hanachloi, leave him alone. Evel Taren, he wants to hear, you know, he wants to hear, Hu Shamei, and he does hear. And you're going to see how well he hears. And the Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac was in the shul when the Tzemach Tzedek, on the day of the coronation, the Tzemach Tzedek sits on the throne. And he starts to say, the Mayimra al Shloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed. And after he said the first sentence, as the story goes, after he said the first sentence, he turned to Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, and he looked at him straight in the eyes, and Yitzchak Isaac is already faint from this whole thing. He's about to pass out. And the Tzemach Tzedek looks him in the eyes, and he says, Nu Isaacal. He says, My Asa, you know, what can I do? He says, the Rabbeinu Hazakin, the Alter Rebbe, commanded me to say over this Torah. You remember, Gedenk. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac saw this, and he told us over to all the Chassidim that this was a clear sign. There was we just have one more minute. There was one other event that's surrounding that that coronation, the day of the coronation of the Tzemach Tzedek, that when the Tzemach Tzedek had said initially, how could I become Rebbe if I didn't receive any signs from the Zaydi? I didn't receive signs from the grandfather, so how could I become Rebbe? So the Zakenim, the elders of the Chassidim, told him that there were two simonim, that there were two signs that they remembered. The first sign was, they told him that one time the Baal Tanya told them, these were the elders, told them that he had a dream. The Baal Tanya had told him that he had had a dream, and in his dream, he was holding a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah began to fall from his hands. And then the Tzemach Tzedek had come to help him hold the Sefer Torah. So the Chassidim said that was one sign that they heard from the Zayde, that the Zayde told him this dream. And the second thing was, they said, was that one time the Baal Tanya was in a state of Dveikus. He went into one of his trances, you know, of attachment. He was attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like in this very deep way. He was in this trance. And in the middle of his trance, he began to scream out, Zayde, Zayde, Rebbe. Now the Baal Tanya used to call the Baal Shem Tov Zayde, even though they weren't family, but he called him Zayde. And the Mizrach HaMagid, he called Rebbe. So the Baal Tanya was in this trance, and he started to scream, Zayde, Zayde, Rebbe. And at that time, the Baal Tanya, he said, the elders of the Baal Tanya fainted. And there was a tremendous tumult, and the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy, and he ran over, and he put his hand out, and he said, Zayde, Zayde, nemt in mein hand, you know, take my hand, Zayde, take my hand. And the Baal Tanya woke up, and he took the Tzemach Tzedek's hand. And he said, and the Chassidim said that this was a simon that they saw from the grandfather, that he was supposed to be Rebbe, it was meant for him to become Rebbe, the fact that he was the one that helped the Baal Tanya carry the Sefer Torah, and that he was the one who held out a hand for the Tanya when he was a little boy, and the Tanya took his hand. So after the Tzemach Tzedek heard those two simonim, that was the final thing that convinced him that he should be Makabel the Nesias, he should accept the position of being the Rebbe, or what's called by the Chabad, the Nosi, the prince of the Chassidim. Mitzvah, next week we'll continue to talk about the changes that were taking place when the Tzemach Tzedek actually took over the position, and the fascinating historical episode of the difficulties that he had with the Maskilim, with some of the leaders of the Enlightenment, and the meetings that he had in St. Petersburg with the opponents to Chassidus, and how the Tzemach Tzedek was able to bring about a great victory for the students of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh.